Well, how many of you in 2011, how many of you want some things to be different this year than were last year? Amen. Now, I think if we're honest, we want some of 2010 to carry over, don't we? It wasn't all that bad, right? So we'd like some of 2010 to carry over, but we would like to see some things be different this year. And it all starts with a desire. It all starts with knowing that things can be different. It all starts with seeing, you know what, God, you have something more for my life, for my family, and for the destiny that you have for me. Now, the wonderful thing about God is that truly, truly, He wants that for your life more than you want that for your life. Because it's His plan. He's the one that created you. He's the one that shaped and fashioned you. He's the one that has given us these exceedingly precious and wonderful promises from His Word. So we have goals, we have desires, people have New Year's resolutions. This is the year that something is going to happen. Now, how many of you have discovered that the things and some of the goals and the dreams that you have from 2005 are still on your 2011 list? Have you discovered that? I saw somebody, a friend of mine posted on Facebook, and this is a pastor's wife, and she's probably 32 or something like that. And she said, this is the first time in 20 years that my New Year's resolutions does not include losing weight. Because in 2010, she lost 30 kgs. 30 kgs. And so now she's saying, I don't know whether to laugh or to cry. But for the first time since I can ever remember, it's no longer something that I want to have changed this year, because it changed last year. Well, at the end of 2011, God has some things like that for us. This is the year that things can change. This is the year it's going to happen. Now, the question is, and this is the big question, isn't it? How? I wish it were as easy as I could just go, whew, or we could put a banner up, 2011, the year of promise, and you just look at the banner and that's what's going to happen. No, there are things that we are involved in that process. And really, unless we change, things around us won't change. But the wonderful thing is you and I, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the direction of the Word of God, we have within our grasp the power to change with God's help. Now, what will make 2011 different? Again, it's not a slogan. It's not just good intentions. Sometimes people say this, well, Pastor, this year I'm going to try even harder than the last 5 years, and this is the year it's going to change. Well, can I challenge you? Didn't you try hard last year too? You did. If trying hard was going to fix it, it would be fixed by now. No, we need a strategy. We need a plan from God. And I believe that the Lord's going to give us a part of that today, two vital components that can make 2011 different. It is the year of God's destiny. Amen. It's the year that things can and will change in your life. Now, there are two things that God has been really burdening my heart with for my own personal life, for my family, and I believe it would be appropriate for the life of our church. And as I was just looking, there's actually really a scripture that shows this. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 1, or the first psalm. These would be David's playlist on his iTunes, on his iPod or his phone. And the very first one it's an awesome one. Psalm 1, blessed is the man or the woman. How many of that, so far that sounds good, right? Blessed. We like that part. So blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, how many of you, verse 3 sounds pretty awesome? Now, remember, God wrote this about you. This is God's plan. These are not just the best wishes of your friends or your parents. This is what God wants for your life in 2011 and for every year after that. Let's look at verse 3. What are the outcomes? What are the results? What are the pictures that God has for you? That you're like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. What that means is you don't need for it to rain to be healthy. The condition around you does not affect you, because there is a source in your life that is not driven by the circumstances. There's a river that gives you life, that gives you the fruitfulness of your life. And then it says that you bring forth its fruit in its season, a tree. Now, many of us know that there are many different types of tree, and they all have different fruits. And 2011 God wants it to be the year that you bring forth your fruit, not somebody else's, yours. You have unique DNA, and God made you in a special way to bring forth your fruit. And what fruit is it's something that's on the inside that is working on the outside, and it blesses someone else. Fruitfulness is something that is a part of God's plan for our life. The Bible says that he'll cut and he'll prune a tree that's not bearing fruit. But God wants your life, because there's a source, because there's a river in your life, that you are achieving what God has for you. And people can see it. And Jesus said, fruit and fruit that remains. When we were just on the coast in Durban just now, we bought lychees, we bought mangoes, we bought pineapples, we bought nectarine, we bought all this fruit. But you know what we found out by the end of about 10 days? Not all of it lasted. The lychees were rotten. The peaches grew fuzzy. We had to throw a few of them away. But God, the fruit that comes from your life, it will remain. It will stay on the earth. In fact, when you're gone from this earth, your fruit will continue to be here. Now, planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth your fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever you do shall prosper. Whatever you do prospers. And the Bible word for prosperity is not a necklace with a Mercedes-Benz logo and a big belt buckle, all right? It's not just driving a Hummer with wheels that spin the other way, all right? Prosperity, the Hebrew word for prosperity, is to finish a journey. That means when you set off, you make it. That means you start the business grows, the business makes it. You start building a house, the business is finished. You raise kids, and they're more godly than you are. They go farther in life than you. Amen. Prosperity, finishing the course that God has for you. Now, doesn't that sound awesome, verse 3? Now, wouldn't it be great if I could just take some special anointing oil that got blessed at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, and we could just slap it on all of you? You could maybe give 13,000 kwacha, and you could unlock the door of Psalm 1:3. Wouldn't that be great? That's all you had to do, just give 13,000 or 130 or 1.3 million or whatever it is. That's not how it works. Verse 3. Look at verse 3. Go back to Psalm 1. Verse 3. He shall be like a tree. He. Who is he? Tell your neighbor, that's me. But notice verse 3, he shall be. The person in verse 3 is the person who has been walking in the light of verse 1 and verse 2. The person who has been obedient to the instruction of God from verse 1 and verse 2. And the fact of the matter is, we don't all qualify when we look at verse 1 and verse 2. Right? But we can. We can follow. And God wants to give us some instruction today. And really, this is kind of, we're just going to kind of start the year off. But we're going to take some time and look at these two subjects later in this year of how important they are. But verse 1 talks about your associates. The people that you walk together in life with. Your friends. The people that you are conversing with. The people that you are, that are on your journey in life together. And verse 2 talks about your relationship to the Word of God. And more specifically, it talks about meditating in that Word. That means to speak. Are you speaking the Word of God? Or are you speaking circumstances? Are you speaking doubt? Are you speaking gossip and slander? What is coming out of your mouth? Now, here is the wonderful thing about both of these things. The words that come from our mouth, our relationship to the Word of God, and our associates, we get to choose both of those. How many of you, someone else has made you say something? It doesn't happen, does it? Now, they may have helped you, encouraged you. They may have inspired you to say something. But the muscles in your mouth and your tongue belong to you. What you say, you own. You are responsible for what comes out of your mouth. You and only you. Now, also with our friends, our associates, the people that we are going to walk together in life with. Now, we're going to look at to see how important this is and how this affects our life. Because God says, when we get this right, the right people and the right words, God's word, then the result will be verse 3. Fruitfulness, longevity, life for other people, prosperity, being able to finish and completing the task and completing the journey that God has for our life. So if you'll allow me, I want to just reverse the order. Let's start in verse 2, all right? In verse 2, it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, the Hebrew word, again, for meditation, when we see in Joshua 1:8 to meditate in the law of the Lord, the Hebrew word literally means to mutter, to say something. Biblical meditation does not happen with your mouth closed. It is not just a thought. It is not assuming the lotus position. I'm going to think about the love of God. No, meditation involves your mouth. It involves your imagination. Singing can be involved in meditation. But it is something that comes out of your mouth. Now, God's word, what he's saying in verse 2, is that it is such a part of your life that it is on your lips night and day. Now, it's either night or day, right? Tell your neighbor all the time. Let me ask you a question. When you get to the 20th in a month and your money didn't make it to the 30th, what comes out of your mouth? When your spouse, husbands, when she doesn't look exactly like Proverbs 31, wives, when your husband is doing something other than loving you as Christ loved the church, what comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your mouth about your nation? An editorial Gossip or the word of God? What comes out of your mouth? Because Jesus said that what comes out of your mouth, it's in your heart. It's in your heart. When you get angry, when you get upset, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? You know, Paul said, what shall we say to these things? All these problems, all these adversities. What shall we say to these things? Well, some of you say some things we can't repeat in church. How did it got in your heart. It got in your, well, see, here's the thing. You can change what comes out of your mouth. Now, let's look at some scriptures. Turn to James chapter 3. Oh, pastor, this isn't that big of a deal. Oh, this is a big deal. It's a big deal. James chapter 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Okay, look at this. So the person who can control his tongue, the Bible says, you bridle your entire body. How many of you have some body problems? Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love, right? How many of you in 2010, there were some places your feet went, you don't want to go this year? One of the keys is your mouth, right? If he does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle or control or steer or guide your body. And then he goes on and then he gives us some pictures of what this looks like. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body. Now, how many of you have ever seen, it's not really much to watch on TV, watching football is more interesting, but horse races. Little tiny guys riding multi-million dollar horses. I mean, those horses are expensive. Little guys. And they're able to steer that horse with a bit in its mouth. Turning. And I've ridden horses before. It's not my favorite thing to do. But it's amazing that just a little tug, it turns its head and all of a sudden it changes the entire direction of that horse. Now, how many of you know if you didn't have a bit, how hard it would be to grab a horse by the neck and say, come on, horsey. It is not going with you. It outweighs you. It's too big. It's too strong. And if it doesn't want to go, it is not going. But you put the bit in its mouth and you turn. And guess what? The whole horse, something that you could not turn any other way, will turn with a little small thing. And then he gives us another example. Verse 4. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. A huge ship that you could not turn, you could not push, you could not do anything, but you turn the rudder. You can't see it, but when it turns, the boat turns, doesn't it? Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the control of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. That means the devil can get in your mouth. We can say some things that are going the wrong way for our life. New Living Translation puts it this way. The tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness and can ruin your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life. It can turn the entire course of your life. How many of you want your life to take a turn this year? Do you want it to turn in a few ways? All right. Tell your neighbor, giddy up. The way we're going to start this is by speaking what God says. To confess means to say what God says, to agree with God. And we can say what God says about our situation, even when our situation doesn't look right. Because, you see, the person who's navigating a boat and it's going a certain way and they need to adjust it, they don't cry. They don't yell and scream. They don't even hold a prayer meeting. They just set a new course. And they dial it in and they turn it. And when that rudder turns, the whole boat turns. So God wants us to say some things different in 2011. Again, you have to take inventory for your own life. Now, if you're married, if you have a close friend, they can probably help you. They know what comes out of your mouth too. But are we speaking what God says? Or are we giving voice to doubt, to gossip, to slander? And when I was putting this, this just came to my heart. God does not believe in free speech in His kingdom. Now, I think it's a great thing in a democracy, but God's kingdom is not a democracy. He's the king. He makes up all the rules. Amen. And in His kingdom, He does not allow us to say whatever we want to say. Amen. We say what He says. Amen. So take some time. Do an inventory and realize that some of the direction of your life is that you have only been saying what you see instead of what God sees. You need to set a new direction this year. And then secondly, go back to Psalm 1. So there is a man that's called blessed that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So notice that progressively, when you're with the wrong type of people, you walk, you stand, and then you sit. That means things are not going the direction that God has, that He wants for your life. And the types of people that are described here are the ungodly, the sinners, and scornful. You get to choose the people that are in your life. It is your choice, not someone else's choice. Your friends and your associates, as much as your words are guiding your life, listen, your friends are guiding your life. The people, the type of people that you have surrounded yourself with are influencing your life today. And you say, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, you don't have to believe in gravity for it to work. Just jump off the roof of this building and you will be a believer in gravity. Your friends influence you more than your pastor. Your friends influence you more than the TV preacher. Your friends influence you more than the books that you read. Your friends are guiding your life. And so you have to stop and look and say, where are they going? Are we going in the same place? Amos 3:3. How can two walk together unless they are in agreement? Unless they're walking in the same direction. All right? 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. And again, today is really just to kind of spark some things in our heart, but then to look in depth and allow God to deal with our actions. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. So you are to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. But listen to me. Everybody look at me. You are not to pursue these things alone. You are to pursue these things with others who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Those that are not, don't hang out with them. You can do this. You can make some decisions. Now, there, remember we talked about some things that we want to leave in 2010 that we don't want to bring over into 2011. Some of the things that we need to leave in 2010 are some associates, some friends, some people who are not going in the same direction that you are going in life. It is a biblical principle to avoid ungodly people. Proverbs 1, verse 14. These are evil people asking you to do things. Cast your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. So God encourages us. He commands us in 2 Timothy to pursue, to do life, to have on our journey people that are going the same godly way that you are, and to avoid people who are not. Now, why is this? Why is this? It's because we want to be exclusive. We want to live in a holy huddle. No, because of the influence they have in your life. Look at Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. And this is such an amazing verse because of its simplicity. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. How many of you would like to, maybe if you had the opportunity to go to one of the greatest universities or graduate schools in the world? Wouldn't that be awesome? You'd like to be wiser, right? Don't you wish God would come to your room like he did Solomon and say, I'll give you anything, just ask me. And Solomon asked for wisdom and he got it. Unfortunately, he didn't live it, but he got it. He wrote it down for us, but then he didn't obey his own wisdom. But here is a very simple way to become wise. He who walks with wise men will be wise. It rubs off on you. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. Message Bible puts it this way. Become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. Friends, many times it is not an attack of the devil. It is who you have surrounded your life with. Your life is falling to pieces because of the people that are around you. And this is the year to say bye-bye. Hasta la vista, baby. New Living Translation says, whoever walks with the wise will become wise, and whoever walks with fools will suffer harm. Now, unfortunately, when we use, because the Bible word fool is it's a strong word, isn't it? And the Bible tells us not to go around calling people fools. But Proverbs gives us criteria of how to be a fool. What foolish people look like. And the Bible is so kind because when we're supposed to pick people, God gives us a list. So if you are a single man and you're looking for a wife, channel O is not where you look. Times, arcade, that's not where you look. You go to Proverbs 31, and there's your list. Here's what I look for. Amen? And every time in the Bible where they were asking people to pick people, for whether it's a deacon, an elder, a pastor, people to help Moses, whatever it was, every single time they said, look for people that look like this. They hate covetousness. They fear God. So God gives you a list and he tells you what to look for. So when it comes to people who are fools, God, in the book of Proverbs, now here are just some things that fools do. Fools do not heed correction, Proverbs tells us. They're deceitful. They mock at sin. They despise instruction. So if there are people that look like that in your life, you need to love them from a distance. Amen? They are not supposed to be on team you. They need to be given a transfer. Pastor, this is very strong. This is like, how can you be saying this? Isn't this what God is saying? Who are the people that are influencing your life? You get to choose those. And either you've got the right people, you may have the wrong people, or you may just not have enough people. Sometimes in life we tend sometimes as Christians to just say, well, I'm just going to have Jesus and we're going to make it. Yes, you need Jesus, but you need Jesus with skin on. People whom God dwells, and the grace of God has been given to them for you. And they speak into your life and they love you the right way. And they're godly people. They're wise people. Now, God tells us who to look for. Now, here's something that is unfortunate. There are people, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking people, who are going to heaven, and we love them, but they qualify as fools. Right? They go to church. Can I say this? They go to your church. Not many, but we have to be selective. And we need wise, godly people in our life, on our journey, that those people are helping us get to where we're going. Because if you don't have the right people, you're not going to get there. Now, there have been times, some of you say, well, Pastor, I just don't, you know, you should see the people I work with. Oh, my relatives are crazy. I don't have those types of people. Well, if we need those people, right? It's part of God's plan. Then we can ask God for those types of people. There, twice in our life, in my wife and I's life, we kind of woke up one day and realized, wow, we don't have people in our life. One was when we went to school, went to Bible school. We moved to South Africa and we were helping a ministry, but we were in a very small little town. And everyone in the town spoke Afrikaans except us. So we'd go to, even hanging out with Christians, you go to their house and everybody's speaking Afrikaans. So you just kind of drink tea and look around and look. So there was a language barrier and it was a small place. And we left incredible friends. I mean, people that were still close to our life, but they're not there anymore. They're not close to us. And that first year we struggled, we battled. We're like, oh God, we don't have any friends. Until we just ask. You have not because you ask not. So we said, God, you know what? We just ask you for friends in our life. And my wife, Timothy was a baby. Just 3 months old, and he was very needy, and he just cried a lot. And so my wife was busy with him, how can I have friends when I've got this baby who's crying? Well, you know what? God opened up a door for her to start with another friend, a Bible study for moms with little babies. And they would get together once a week, eight ladies, and one of them would take care of the other kids, and then they'd drink tea. Ladies like to drink tea. That's fine. They'd study the Bible. And they had people that she knows from that time 19 years ago are still friends of hers today. God opened a door. Then there was another time where the people we were working under, and they were incredible mentors to us. And we realized, you know what, God, we don't have people in our life that are like fathers to us. And Lord, we ask you. And within months, three of the most beautiful couples, seasoned people in ministry, came into our life and are still in our life today, speaking and helping us, guiding us, correcting us. God knows what you need. But you've got to, in faith, say bye-bye to some of them. Now, and I feel this very strongly by the Spirit of God, just in prayer, that some of you, single men, single women, are in romantic relationships that you know you have no business being in. You know it. Those people, that man or that woman, they are biblically foolish. They do not love God. They do not walk with God. And you need to cut it off now. You don't need to pray about it. You don't need a word from God. Do not be unequally yoked. That's the word. Amen? And don't use any excuse. Oh, but our families like each other. Not your heavenly Father. What father opinion do you value the most? Oh, but pastor, I'm going to hurt their feelings. Yes. And they'll get over it. You have no business being in that relationship. Some of you people have spoken to you about it. People that love you have told you, and you don't listen. And you've got a choice right now. You can obey the word of God, or you can watch your life fall to pieces, and you will have no one to blame but yourself. And right now, the Spirit of God is bringing this up because He loves you, and He is merciful to you, and He wants God's best for your life. Amen? Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Someone that does not believe. Someone who's not headed in the right way. Oh, but pastor, they say they're a Christian. You can say anything to get somebody to marry you. Amen? And God's not letting me, especially some of you ladies. Some of you, you see the car he drives. You see his paycheck. You see the suits that he wears. Let me tell you, that car will not keep you happy. His paycheck will not keep you happy. If he drinks now, he will drink after you're married. Oh, pastor, but I thought I was going to get a happy word for 2011. This is the happy word. This is what is going to produce fruit in your life. We can make choices on January the 2nd that will affect July 30th. We can set some things in course today. Amen? So, God wants us to make some choices. Very simply put, we get to choose the words we say. We get to choose the people who are on our life's team. And if you're not saying the right words, repent. Speak the word of God. I know I was looking at this on the airplane last night. And I teach classes on confession. I know faith. I've heard from the best people in the world. And God convicted me. Walker, you're not doing it. You can teach on it, but you're not doing it. So I'm going to get scriptures. I'm going to type them out. And in the morning when I have my tea or coffee, I'm going to say what God says about my life. I'm going to say what God says about my family, about my kids, about my church, about this nation. Amen? To set a new course. And I realize some people that I need some people on my team. Some people that they're there, but they've kind of been on the sidelines. They've been watching on the bench. I need them on the pitch with me. I need godly people around me, surrounding me, helping me, supporting me, speaking into my life. And I'm making those adjustments in my life. Amen? This year, if you don't want it to be like some of the things, you don't want it to be like last year, then set a new course. Set a new course. And get ready to watch things change in your life. Amen? Can we pray right now? Let's pray. Father, Lord, as we look ahead to 2011, Father, I thank you that we can do it with you. We can look ahead and see things the way you see things. And you know the plans that you have for us, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper us, to give us an expected end, not to hurt us. Father, those are your good plans and they've never changed. Yet, Lord, we want to see them. We want to live in those things. And Father, I believe that for my personal life, for my family, for the life of this church, Lord, you've given us some things today that will change the course of 2011. Father, I pray for all of us that we'll have the grace to obey. I'd ask you to say that with me right now. Just every believer that God is stirring in your hearts and you know 2011 needs to be different. It needs to have another course. Say this with me. Say, Father, give me the grace to obey what I've heard today. Thank you that it is you who works in me both to will and to do of your pleasure. Help me to bridle my tongue. I can't do it on my own. Let me speak your word. Let me speak words of faith, words of hope, words of encouragement, words of life and love. And Lord, help me to have the right people around me. Give me the grace to say no to certain people, to not have them on my team any longer, and to invite the wise and the godly and those that love you, and that I will pursue and follow you with those of like faith. Thank you, Father. Help me now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just let the Spirit of God speak to you right now. If you pray in other tongues, just begin to pray in other tongues. The Bible says we speak mysteries, not unto men, but unto God. I believe God wants to give some direction personally to you right now, some decisions that are ahead of you. Maybe some decisions that you've already made that need to be unmade. God's dealing with your heart and he's showing you. You made the wrong turn. Or maybe some decisions that you've been wavering about and a doorway that you're not sure, but God wants to give you peace. He wants to show you that it's the right way. Right now, let him speak to your heart. Let him speak to your heart. Direction from the throne of God right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We love you. We praise you. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. Let me encourage you, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're a married couple, you need to do what Pastor William and Clara did on New Year's Eve. You need to get together. You need to speak the word. You need to pray together. You need to set the course for your life for 2011. What is it that God's saying to you? What is it that he wants for you? Come to that place of agreement. And maybe that's why things have not worked out 100% is because you've got two different visions. You're going two different ways. But come together. Speak the truth and see what God is saying. If you're a single person, I encourage you, take time today to get alone with the Holy Spirit. Get some people. Make those calls today. Those people that need to be on your team. Those godly people. Invite them on. Get together with them. Pray with them. Thank you, Lord. Take some action steps today. Thank you, Father. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here in this place and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves you. He cares for you. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sin. He was punished in your place so that you could have a relationship with God. And today, you can make a decision that will affect the rest of your life and all of eternity. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you can accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. If you're backslidden, if your life is full of sin and rebellion, you can come home to Him today. He wants to be in your life. If you're ready to make that decision, I want to pray with you. And so that we can, wherever you are right now, lift up your hand. Say, Father, today's my day. I choose Jesus. I want Him to be my Lord and my Savior. I need to come back to Him. Anyone at all. He loves you. He cares for you. Anyone at all. What a great way to start off the new year. If you need Jesus, come to Him now. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thanks. God bless you. Anyone else? All right. Everyone, can we stand to our feet just as we get ready to go? But before we go, someone lifted up their hand. I would ask you right now, just come and meet me up front. I want to pray with you. I want to see God be real in your life. And for all the old things to pass away today. Let's give them a hand as they're coming right now. They're coming from the mother's room. Okay. God bless you, young lady. God loves you so much. Ushers, just help me. Are they still coming? Are they on their way? Oh, we're okay. Oh, we got it. Okay. Today you've come to Jesus, and the Bible says He will not push you away. He'll not cast you aside, but He'll receive you. And so we want to pray a prayer that's from the Bible that will invite Jesus into your heart. Are you ready to do that right now? Congregation, would you please join us as we pray this prayer? Just close your eyes and say this with me. Say, Father, I believe Jesus is your Son. He died in my place. He was raised from the dead so that I could know you. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. And I thank you now that I will leave my old life to follow you for the rest of my days. Father, thank you that I'm in your family. And that you love me. In Jesus' name, amen.